Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, 6 lines from the end, back there on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Osa Maimer Upoal Hare Zu Kemitzvasa. If a Yavam gives money to the Yavama, to the widow of his deceased brother, and then has intimacy with her, he has done the mitzvah the way it is supposed to be done. On the side of the Gemara, on the under the topic heading, the Nosei, we've written Dino Shel Rav Huna, Rav Huna's law, mitzvas Yavama mekadesh v'acharkach boel. The mitzvah of Yibum, the way it is supposed to be done, is money is to be given, and only then is the act of intimacy to take place. We should point out that this is a novel idea in the sense that we understand in general that the Yibum marriage is different than a standard marriage. In a standard marriage, so the normal procedure is money is given, that creates kiddushin or erusin, and then a second stage where the marriage is consummated through what we call chuppah, which involves intimacy. Whereas that is the case in the situation of a standard marriage, when it comes to yibum, all that's necessary is for the surviving brother of to have intimacy with the widow of his deceased brother who left no children. Rav Huna comes and tells us that the method of consummating the Yibum relationship, the Yibum marriage, is very similar to a standard marriage. Money is to be given before the act of intimacy. By reading our Mishnah, we are led to believe that our Mishnah supports Rav Huna's position. So now we continue in the Gemara. Lema Misayel Eilu Rav Huna. Should we say that our Mishnah is a Tanaic support for Rav Huna's ruling? The Omar Rav Huna, Mitzvas Yivama, the proper way of doing Yivum, Mekadesh V'Acharkach Boel. First, money is given, that's called Kiddushin, or Mekadesh, and then the Boel, the act of intimacy. So that is a question. Does our Mishnah come to support Rav Huna? The Gemara says, no. Emo, when you read the Mishnah, you can read it this way. Af ze kimitzvasa. Even giving the money prior and then following it with the intimacy is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. However, that does not indicate that it's necessary to do it that way. The Gemara says, well, if that's the reading of the Mishnah Pshita, is that not obvious that if you give her money and then have intimacy with her, that also would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah? Is there some way to think otherwise? In other words, the Mishnah then would be telling me something obvious. If the Mishnah was telling me that this is the way, the only way to do the Yibum, so that's of significance. That would support Rav Huna, and in fact it would tell us that what our common or simple understanding of Yibum is not to be followed, but rather first money and then the intimacy, and not straight out intimacy. But if you say the Mishnah is saying that even giving the money followed by intimacy is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, that's obvious. What is there to think other? So the Gemara answers, Salka Daita Chamina. Without the Mishnah and this understanding of the Mishnah, I might have thought, Hayil di Omar Mar, since it has been said, Ha'oise Maimer Biyavimto, that one who gives money to a Yavama, Porcha Heimenu Zikas Yivmin V'chola Olav Zikas Erusin V'nisuin. Through the giving of the money, that removes the Yivum connection and replaces it with a standard marriage relationship. It's referred to as Zikas Erusin V'nisuin. So if that's the case, Eim Olav Mitzvah Kovid. I would then have room to think that by giving the money to the Yavama, to the widow, you're actually undoing the mitzvah of Yibum, and that the subsequent intimacy with her isn't a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. Kamash Malon, so what our Mishnah is telling me, don't worry about that. Rather, giving the money to her does not erase the fulfillment of Yibum, but it's also a way to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, of the levirate marriage. Gufa. Now the Gemara focuses on Rav Huna directly. Omar Rav Huna, mitzvah Yibmin, mekadesh v'achakach boyo. The proper way of doing Yibum is first offering money to the widow in anticipation of bonding with her, of marrying her, and then the intimacy. If he were to have intimacy and then give her money, so that would also acquire, that would also consummate the marital bond. The Gemara asks on this statement, if he had intimacy first and then gave her money, that acquires, that's obvious, he acquired her through the act of intimacy. What is Rav Huna telling me by saying that if he was Baal and then gave her money, that's koina, that acquires? That's obvious. Elo Eimo, im Baal, below Maimer Kona. Rather, the proper reading of Rav Huna's din is that if he had intimacy without giving money, so then it's koina, it acquires. That even though Rav Huna says the first choice, the best way of doing things is first giving the money and then the intimacy, if he didn't do that, if he just had the intimacy, it's effective, it's koina. Question, v'hotanya loket, but is there not a Tanaic source that says that if one is boil without mimer, he gets malchus, he gets lashed? And the thinking right now is that the lashing referred to as a lashing from the Torah, so that the Torah itself doesn't want you to do that. So how can you say koina? How can you say that it's effective in acquiring? The Gemara says, Makas Mardus Midrabonon. The comment made by this one word Tanaic reference of Loiket is a rabbinic lashing. Makas Mardus is lashing out of because someone is rebelling against what the rabbis want you to do. So that on a Torah level, Bia alone, if your first encounter with the widow is through an act of intimacy, it's effective, it is koine. The fact that there's a reference to lashing, that's because on a rabbinic level something wrong was done. The Rav, mangid means lashes. Rav would rule that lashing is to be carried out. Man, the mekadesh b'biyah, someone who betroths a woman through the act of intimacy. Now, we must go on record as saying that the opening mishnah of Maseches Kiddushin says, Oisha niknes b'shloisha drachim, b'kesev b'shtar b'biyah. That means a woman can be acquired by three different ways. One of them is bia, is intimacy. That means that a man's first encounter with his prospective wife in terms of marriage is, according to the Mishnah, through bia. However, Rav feels that even though it works, technically speaking, it's not within the what's called the acceptable realm of modesty, that a man's first connection with a woman is through the act of intimacy. Therefore, Rav Huna adopts Rav's approach and superimposes it on the mitzvah of Yibum as well. That the first bonding or relationship between the the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, as is the case in Yibum, should not be through an act of intimacy, but rather money should be offered first to start the bonding. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and on the side of the Gemara there's a starred note. So, grand elu einom l'shem dilug. The brackets here are not for the purpose of skipping to enable the reading to flow easier by continuing that which is after the brackets. Elo l'samein, but rather to highlight, to point out, the ikur divrei rav hakshun l'sugyasenu muvoim l'fnei hasagram. The point of these brackets is to show, to demonstrate, that the main point of Rav, as is relevant to our sukkah, has already been stated. Rav has a number of additional points, but they're not directly related to our Gemara. So with that in mind, we continue with the bracketed section, and we glance first at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, Sidra Shel Hanhogas Bilti Ritzios, a series of unacceptable forms of behavior, Shaleim Rav Hoya Noisein Malkus, that regarding each one of them, Rav rules that lashing should be carried out. So what else would Rav have lashed for? Uman de Mekadesh Veshuka, one who in a public area offers kiddushin to a woman, even through money, but it's done in a public area that's unfitting for the act of marriage. One doesn't do it in a public market. And if one does that, so he deserves lashing. Rashi's expression is diminik zilus uprisizu. It's a cheapening and immodest form of behavior. Number three, uman de mekadesh belo shiduchi. One who approaches a woman, will say out of the blue, and says, "Would you marry me?" Below shiduchi, shiduchi is the arrangement where marriage is discussed between the couple. It's set up, it's discussed, one prepares for it. All that leading up to the actual marriage proposition, where the man would give money to her, "Will you marry me?" in exchange for this money. So, as we said before, popping out with the proposal out of the clear blue to a woman is unacceptable to Rav, and Rav would lash for that. Number four, uman de mevatel gita. This involves someone who sent a divorce document through an emissary, through an agent, and while it's en route to the woman, the husband declares the divorce document void. This isn't the time to elaborate on that. These issues have their own sukkis where they're focused on at greater length. So we continue. Number five, uman de moser moido agita. That involves someone also in the realm of a divorce, one who, prior to writing a get, he announces in front of witnesses that the get that I'm about to write is not to be considered acceptable or binding. And number six, uman de mispaker b'shliach de beidina. One who is bold and rebellious in the face of a court emissary. That will involve someone who, let us say, is summoned to appear in court, and a court emissary is sent out to inform him of that, and he acts in a bold, recalcitrant fashion. Rashi says the mespaker loshem chutzpah shemei is ponav lahatris im shliach beizdin. We continue in the Gemara. Number seven, uman deshoi shamta debram role talsin yoimin, one who allows a court form of execution to remain upon him for 30 days, v'la'osi lebeidina v'tova l'shamta, and he doesn't come to court to seek out the absolution, the release from the excommunication, and that of course would involve the individual's apology and whatever else is necessary to have it released. So if someone behaves in that fashion, that he allows a court excommunication, a court ruling of excommunication to be upon him for 30 days, so he is to be lashed. Number 8, the Al-Hasna, the Doyer, Bebei, Chamui. And also, a son-in-law that dwells in the house of his mother-in-law. There is an angular brackets, and there's a note that accompanies that on the side. Achrei HaSograim Muvo Daitam de Nardoi. After these angular brackets, the opinion of Nardo will be featured. Be'inyan Alma Rav Malkin, regarding what Rav rules shall be worthy of lashing. B'soch HaSograim Kaimas Kushya Partanit Al Din number 8. Within the brackets is a technical question on point number 8. So in point number 8, the law said that a son-in-law that dwells in the house of his mother-in-law is deserving of lashing. So the Gemara asks, the doyer in the cholef lo, only if he dwells in her house is he to be lashed, but if he passes by the house, it's not worthy of lashing. There was an incident where a son-in-law passed by the entrance to his mother-in-law's house, Vinagdei Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes ordered Malkus. The Gemara answers, Hahu, in that case, Meidim Havadayim Machmose. There was suspicion of immorality between that particular son-in-law and his mother-in-law. It was maybe say excessive closeness between them. So as a result, the rabbis had said, don't even walk by her house. And he went ahead and did. He deserves to be lashed. But in general, walking by mother-in-law's house will not result in that. However, dwelling in the house, that's what we would say is asking for trouble. And one who does so is deserving of lashing. There's a point made in the Tosfos, if we look on the lower part of the page, a few lines down from here, Hador Bebeis Chamiv, people who live in their father-in-law, mother-in-law's house. Tosfos is aware that many people do. Anan, we are Samchinon Anardoi, are reliant upon the next opinion that we haven't seen yet in the Gemara, the Amri that claimed Bekulu Lo Man Git Rav, Rav would not Malkus, would not lash for all of the things we mentioned, Elamanda Mekadosh Mabia, the Bishel Seifim Aloha Achara Mekil. The only case he would lash over is someone who betroths a woman, first stage of marriage, initial stage of marriage, with the act of intimacy. But regarding the other matters, Rav, it would not lash. So, amongst those matters is living in the home of mother-in-law, father-in-law. Nahardoi would not lash for that. So now we see this in the Gemara text itself. Nahardoi Amri. Nahardoi is of the opinion, Bekulu Loman Girav, in all of the cases Rav would not actually lash, Elo Lemekadesh Babia Ubalo Shiduchi. Rather, someone who betroths a woman and their first contact is through Bia, without having had prior discussion concerning marital intent. The Ikod Diamri, another version is Afilu Bishiduchi Nami Mishum Pritzusa. According to this more strict opinion, the Nahardoi would say that even if there was Shiduchi, there was discussion prior to the marriage, but the actual act of bonding is done not through money, but rather through an act of intimacy, that's not the right thing. It works, but it's not the right thing in terms of standards of modesty. And that's what Pritzusa referenced, lack of modesty. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note on the side. The Nosei Mivnei diamond will appear. Ma Lemaisa Have, number 1, Mimer, and number 2, Shtar Ksubas Yivmin, a document which is the financial guarantee for a yavama. In general marriage, we have what's called a ksuba. It's a document whereby the woman's financial welfare is guaranteed in the case of either divorce or widowhood. We can turn now to the Gemara, Ketzad Maimer, or actually to the term, the line at the end of the line before, is Tana Rabbanan. It's been taught in the following Tanaic source, Ketzad Maimer. How is Maimer done? Nosan l'kesef or shava kesef, a man gives to the Yavama cash or something of cash value. And we see a bracketed section on the side. In the starred note, we've written the Socha Sograim Nimsa Tikun Lashon. So as the Brisa unfolds, the language requires some repairing, some upgrading. So we continue with the bracketed section, having that in mind. Ubishtar Ketsa. The Gemara is asking, how is the bonding with the Yavama to be done if you choose to use a document as opposed to cash that was just mentioned? There's a Rashi, Ubishtar Ketzad. We're looking at Rashi about halfway down the Rashi commentary. Vimkidesh Bishtar Ketzad Kosapo. If he betroths her through a document, how is that to be done? Vavinon, and then the Gemara will be asking, Ketzad? What do you mean? What kind of question? Bitmiho? Vakeva the Kiddushay Kesef, Amris Nosan La Kesef, Kishar Noshim. Just like in the case of cash, we said that you would give her cash as you would any other woman. That the method of betrothing her with a document would be the way you do any girl. If one writes on some paper or on a shard, if he writes out that text, etc., that is, and she accepts that document, she will be married. So the text had read at the beginning of the bracketed section, Ubishtar Ketzad. And here the Gemara reacts with a tone of wonderment. Ubishtar Ketzad? You're asking, how is shtar to be done? Kidamoran, as it's spelled out there in the Gemara, Maseches Kiddushin. Kosav lo al hanior al cheres. If a man writes the expression, Arat Mekadeshesli, you are to be betrothed unto me, and he writes it out on some papyrus, or on some paper, or on a shard, even if it doesn't have a value, the shard is worthless. But he writes the expression, Hare at mekudeshesli, that is the way shtar works. So, and that's known, that's already taught elsewhere. So why are you asking Bishtar Ketzad? The Gemara explains, Omar Abaye, Shtar Ksubas Givmin Ketzad. We're talking not about the act of betrothing her, but rather the document that deals with her financial guarantees, the Ksuba. That's Abaye's point. Shtar Ksubas Givmin Ketzad. How is the Shtar Ksuba of a Yavama to be written? Kosav law, the brother-in-law, the surviving brother, writes to his widowed sister-in-law, Ano ploni bar ploni, I so-and-so son of so-and-so, kavilus yas plonis yivinti, am accepting so-and-so as my Yavama, olai lozun lefarnesa, it's upon me to support her and provide her with her needs in the proper way. The finance is used to back up what's written in this ksuba document. The finances, the resources, will be drawn from the property of the deceased husband. The less law may rishon. Talkinu l'rabbonan misheni. If there is nothing property-wise in the possession of the first husband, so the rabbi said, then she will be cared for by the estate of the second one, of the surviving brother. And why is money going to be drawn from him? Kedei shelo tehei kala ve'inav lo zisu, that it should not be a simple matter for him to divorce her. By our assuring the woman that if she doesn't have property from the first husband to meet the ksuba needs, we will draw from the property of the yavam. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a nosei klali, a general topic heading, and a mivne, a structural note. The bow tie that you see and the numbering that accompanies it, she'elois be'inyan gitin ba'ayatiim shenitnu li'avamos. These are questions concerning problematic divorce documents that were given to Yevomis. So if you scan ahead, you can see we have question number one over here, and then as you continue on to Nun Beis Omid Beis, questions two and three appear at the upper part of the Omid. We read the Gemara, Bo mine Abaye me Rabba. Abaye asks a question of Rabba. We have a specific topic heading. If you glance at the side under the Nosei, Nosan get li'avimtoi, man gave a divorce document to the Yavoma, V'yomar hare at megureshes mimeni, V'i at muteres l'chol odom, mahu. He says that you are to be divorced from me, but you're not allowed to be married to anyone else. Now, we'll see in the Gemara that if one were to give that to his wife, that would be a puzzle again. It would be unfit. She is not considered divorced whatsoever. What happens if one does this with a Yavoma? Bearing in mind all the time that when dealing with the breaking up of a Yavom-Yavoma relationship before they actually marry, the only way to release a Yavoma from the Yibum bond is through the shoe removal ceremony, through Chalitza. Here we're speaking about the get that's given to a Yavoma, which there is strength to it on a rabbinic level, and hence we're asking the question in this Yibum context. So the question, and you'll notice it lasts a number of lines, the question has two sides to it, and hence you can see it's in Aleph Oydilma Bey's structure. Bo mine Abaye Mirabo, Nosan lo get. Yavam gives to the Yavama a divorce document. V'omar hare at megureshes heimeni, v'at muteres l'cholam. You are to be distanced, divorced from me, but not allowed to marry anyone else. Mahu, what is the din? Get Yavama equals derabbanan hu. The get given to a Yavama is, as we said before, something that functions on a rabbinic level. Get de mahani be'eshes ish, mahani be'yavama. Get de lo mahani be'eshes ish, lo mahani be'yavama. Do we say that a get, that if it were a husband-wife that were splitting up, a get that works by an eshes ish, that kind of get has effectiveness with regard to a Yavama? A get that would not be effective with regard to an eshes ish would not be effective with regard to a Yavama. And as a result, we would say that nothing happened, and if he were, let us say, to marry her, he would not be in violation of the Isur of Lo Yibonet, which is an Isur derived from Psukim. Oy Dilma, or possibly Osi Lachlufi Begita. If we would say that such a get is of no value, simply because it's of no value in general, people might say that in general, a get given to Yavama is of no value, even if it's a proper type get, without this problematic language in it. Maybe we should have emphasized at the outset that the proper language of a get is where the husband divorces the wife without strings attached. He says, and you muteris to anyone. As you can see here, you don't have that language. You have a language where it says v'i'at muteris l'cholam, where he's not allowing her to marry anyone else. So the second side of the question says that if we would say that this problematic get is ineffective, one might think in general a get given to Yavama is ineffective, and that you can marry her after you gave her the get, which we know is not true, as one's not allowed to. So the question, as was posed to a rabbah, rabbah now answers, Omalei, Chayshinon, we are worried, Dilma Osi Lachlufei Begita. Even though this get is truly ineffective, we're not going to we're not going to say that it's a zero simply because one might confuse it with a non-problematic get, which is not a zero. It's effective, and a Yavam cannot marry her. So we're going to, according to Rabba, we're going to have to treat this problematic get with seriousness. Maskif lo Rabba bar Chonon. Rabba bar Chonon asks now, Elo me'ata, well, according to what you're saying, Yohiv lo Naira bi'almo, Ochinami the Pasla, if a Yavam gave her a piece of blank paper, would you tell me that that renders her unfit to Yibum? Omalei, so Rabba answers, Hasam, when we say Rabba, we're referring to the Rabba that had originally answered Abaye, as opposed to Rabba bar Chonon. So Rabba answers, Hasam lo posil b'kahuna, a piece of paper that a person gives to a woman doesn't cause her to be unfit to marry a Kohen. As you probably know very well, a Kohen cannot marry a divorced woman. And when we speak about a Kohen being prohibited to marry a divorced woman, even if it's a woman that received a questionable type get, nevertheless that can impose restrictions vis-a-vis the kahuna. However, a piece of blank paper doesn't affect the woman's status with regard to kahuna whatsoever. Haha, in a get that has problematic language in it, like we saw before, where he says, Harat Mugesh is saying many viat mutaras l'choladam, this kind of get, kaposil b'kahuna, it has halachic ramifications vis-a-vis Kohen prohibitions. And if a Kohen, for example, would give a get like this to his wife, he would not be able to remarry her. And therefore, there is room for asking this question with regard to the Avoma, and not to raise any problems regarding a blank piece of paper. The Gemara shows that this kind of get, this problematic language get, has Kohen effects. The Pasuk says regarding Kahuna, it says, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikochel, that Kohanim shall not marry women divorced from their husbands. Now the expression in this Pasuk says, a woman who is divorced from her husband, which gives you room to think, afilu lo yinisgarsha ella me'isha, even if her distancing is from her husband alone, meaning only from her husband she is removed, but on the other hand she's not allowed to marry any other man. Even so, lo yikochu, kohanim should not marry women like that. V'hainu re'ach haget shepoisil b'kuna. This is what we mean when we use the expression it has the smell of a get. It smells like a get. Meaning, even though it's not a kosher divorce document, nevertheless, it has some effect insofar as rendering the woman prohibited to kohanim. With that having been said, there is room for Abaye's question regarding a get where the language is not totally kosher in gittin terms. And Rabba answered the question that even though it's not a kosher get in gittin terms, nevertheless, the Yavam will not be allowed to marry her after giving her such a document. Omar Romy Bar Hama. You'll notice by way of marking, a long marking is used where we call it Rekha. Rekha means this is background that leads up to the question that we will see on Amud Beis. The second line from the top, the question will be asked. But here's background. So Romy Bar Hama says, Harei Omru, it has been said, Omar Echad Lelablor, a person speaks to a scribe, a lablor is a scribe, Sof Get La Rusosi, Lichshech Nesena Agar Shena, write a divorce document for a woman who has already been betrothed by me. I started the marriage process, the Erusin stage, so she is my Arusa, and I want the document to say that upon my consummation of the marriage, when I machnis her, at that point she should be divorced. So if this language, if this is what a person says to the scribe, Hare ze gek, it's an effective, it's a kosher document, because even right now he could divorce her. So since there rests within the power of this man to divorce her right now, namely a divorce from the Erusin stage, when he stipulates, write the get and state in it that it should be effective from the point of Knisa, from the point of Nisuin, it's considered effective. That's case Aleph. Now case Beis, Ula Isha Ba'almo, if a man says to a scribe, you know, there's a woman out there, I haven't married her at all, I haven't betrothed her, I haven't started any any marriage process with her, but I want you to write a document that says that when I am machnis her, I want her to be divorced. Well, ain get, that's not a kosher get, it has no effectiveness. He can't divorce her right now. She's not even married to him right now. So since he doesn't have the power right now to divorce her, a get written with such a condition or stipulation is not going to be effective. So the question with that background in mind is, boy, Romy Bar Hamo, Liavintoi Mahu. A person writes a Yavoma get before he consummates the marriage with her. What is the status of such a document? Kevon de Agidove, since she is bound to him, she right now as a Yavoma, she can't marry anyone she likes. She's bound to the brother-in-law. Karusoso Damyo, she would have the status of the Arusa, and we're saying that such a document would have merit, would have value, would have halachic significance. Oidilma, Kevon Dolo Ovid Ba Maimerlo, or since he didn't offer her any money yet, a document of divorce like this with the Yavoma would not have effectiveness. The question then is raised, and the Gemara responds, Teku. We don't have a response. It remains unanswered. Boi Rav Hananya. Here he raises a question. This is a case where a Yavam did Maimer with the Yavama. And he writes a get. Kosav get lezikasai velo lemamoroi. Or lemamoroi velo lezikasai mahu. He writes a divorce document to the Yavama with it being qualified that this is a divorce to break the zika, the bond, but not the cash that I gave her. It's not designed to undo the bonding accomplished through the mimer, through the money given to her. Or it's a get designed to divorce her, to undo the mimer, the money that I gave her, but not to undo the yibum bond, the zika, mahu. How do we treat this? And again, two sides of analysis. Aleph, and a couple lines later, you see the skugel underline O Dilma, and then Beis, second side. Maimer Ilui Zika Karami. Do we say that money given is given in a way that it's superimposed upon the existing bond, the zika bond, the connection between the oven and the avama. V'havile kemegaresh chatzi isha, and when you say, "I want the get to work," only to undo the mimer, it's like you're divorcing half a woman. V'megaresh chatzi isha la'osa v'lo klum. That type of divorce is of no effectiveness, and the yavama like that would actually be muteris to the yavam. Oydilma, or do we analyze it as saying hai lechudei koi, v'hai lechudei koi, that each one, the mimer stands by itself, and the zika stands by itself. Let us glance at Rashi to appreciate the analysis a little bit further. On the upper part of the Rashi commentary, the first of the narrow lines, Maimer Ilui Ziko Rami, Kishaosa Maimer, when he gives money to the Yavama, Nidvak, it attaches, clings unto, Imha Ziko, to the existing Yibum bond, or connection, Finisvasef alone, it's simply an addition, an extension. The ain get moyil lozeh beloze, and a get would not be effective with one without the other. And since it was written into the divorce document that it's an undoing of only one of them, havile megarish chatzi isha, it's like divorcing half a woman, velo klum hi, and that's ineffective, umuteres loy. Oy dilma, Rashi continues, hai luchudei koi, v'hai luchudei koi, umahani. Each element stands independent of the other, and since you defined the element upon which the get should work, it works. And if he wrote in the divorce document that I'm divorcing you, I'm trying to break the yibum connection, but not the cash that I gave you, asura olav v'al echav. By breaking the zika, it asers, it prohibits her on the Yavam himself and on the other brothers as well. The Poka Zika, the Kama Velo Yibona, that breaks the Zika connection and leaves her in the position of being Lo Yibona, meaning that she cannot be participant in building the house of the deceased. The I Kosav Lemamora Velo Zikoso, and if he had written that this is an undoing of the mimer and not the zika, asura lo umuteres li'echov, that breaks his offering of money to her, not tampering with the yibum connection. The result of that is that he cannot marry her, but the other brothers, if there are other surviving brothers, one of them could marry her. The mimer, the avad shakle, the mimer that he did, that one of the brothers did with her, he is now removing. Uposha le ziko kemekoran, the bond remains as it was there originally, enabling any of the other brothers to still marry her. So the question has been raised. That's Rav Hananya's question. The Gemara asks, in turn, the tifshot le midarava. Why doesn't Rav Hananya resolve his question from Rava's teaching? D'yamar Rava, nosan get l'mamoro, if a yavam gave a get to undo the mimer, but not the zika, hutra sarasa, the co-wife is muteris. That shows that it's a get that only undoes the mimer, because if the get l'mamoro undid let's say the whole thing, so then he wouldn't be allowed to marry the co-wife either. So we see from the fact that the co-wife is muteris, we say hai l'chudei koi v'hai l'chudei koi. Each element stands independent of the other, the elements being mimer and zika. So the question is, why did Rav Hananya even ask this question number three, when it could have been resolved from Rava's analysis? The Gemara responds, L'Rava Pshita Le, the matter is obvious to Rava, it's simple, it's clear to Rava. L'Rav Hananya Mibaya Le, My, Rav Chanina was not so sure of the matter, and hence he asks his question. Teku, and again the Gemara leaves it unresolved. So that the issue of what's the relationship of Maimer to Zika, is it superimposed upon the Zika, or is it a separate legal entity? This remains unresolved in the mind of Rabbi Hananya. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Cholatz the Asa Maimer. The Mishnah said, Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. Yet after Chalitza, there is no further bond. Nothing remains. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This comment in the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, that says that after Chalitza, so if the Yavam attempts to do Maimer, it won't take effect, or if another surviving brother is there, it won't take effect. And how is this in accordance with Rabbi Akiva? The Yomar Ein Kiddushin Toysin B'chayvei Lavin. According to Rabbi Akiva, money given in attempting to marry a person who is forbidden to you B'chiyuv Lav, upon a negative command, so it marrying a woman like that's prohibited to you, belav, through a negative command, such a marriage does not take effect. And that's why the Mishnah says that once Chalitz is done, so then that creates a negative, a prohibited relationship to the tune of an isur lav, a negative command, a lois aseh, and the lois aseh being that once you divorce the woman, so lo yibonet, you cannot build up the house of the deceased. Once you divorce, that's an incorrect word, once you do chalitza with the woman. So once you do chalitza, according to Rabbi Akiva, she becomes an isur la, prohibited to you by negative command, and marriage offered to a woman prohibited to you by negative command does not take hold. And that's what the Mishnah said when it says Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. Avo, we continue in the Gemara, Chachomim Omrim, Yesh Achar Chalitza Klum. After Chalitza is done, there still is room for something to take hold. There still is a bond that exists, which for our purposes means that even though there is a negative command, nevertheless there things can take hold. The money offered to her afterwards would result in a marital bond. The Gemara continues with a question that lasts a number of lines. Umi motzis mukmis loka Rabbi Akiva, can you really set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva? V'ha'katani reisha. It says in the reisha, in the earlier part of the Mishnah, nosan get v'osa maimer, sricha get v'chalitza. If a person gave a divorce document to the Yavama and then gave her money, you need to have a get, a divorce document, and chalitza to release her, enabling her to marry out. V'i Rabbi Akiva, if the Mishnah were in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, kevan de yohav lo get, once he gives her a get, mi mahani ba maimer, would maimer take effect? You see, in our Mishnah, when it said he gave her a get and then he did Maimer, she still requires a get. What is the get designed to do? It's designed to undo the Maimer, the money that he gave her. And in addition to that, Chalitza is necessary. But if our Mishnah were in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, after giving her a get, would Rabbi Akiva suggest, would he allow, or would he say that Maimer has any effect? No, it doesn't have any effect. If it doesn't have any effect, you don't need to give a Yavama a get. It's not going to undo anything. The Gemara explains, V'hatanya, we have seen Rabbi Akiva, V'hatanya, Rabbi Akiva, Oimer, Minayim l'noisen get li'avimto, Shenesra olav oilamis, from where do we know that when a get is given to a Yavama, that makes her prohibited to you permanently? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Lo yuchal bailo harishon, asher sholcha. And we take that to mean, Achar shiluach, that after she is sent away, the Rashi points out that the expression Asher Sholcha is an extra expression. So it's coming to tell me that there is a case where a woman who is sent away cannot be taken back. And that's the case of the Yavama that received the get. And since it says in the pasuk lo yuchal, there's a negative command, how can the mimer be effective? How can the mimer require a get if it were according to Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara answers, our Mishnah can be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, and as far as this Gzeres HaKosov that we just read, Omer Avashi get Yivmin midarabonon, the get given to Yavama functions on a purely rabbinic level, and the pasuk that we just cited is not addressing the case of a get given to a Yavama. Ukro asmachta bi'alma, and the pasuk being used to reflect a halacha in the context of Yavama is only a reference point, but it's not an actual source. Tanyo nami hachi, and a Tanaic source of Brisa that supports this. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi answers or explains, Ein hadvarim halalu amurim elo ledivrei Rabbi Akiva. These matters were said only with regard to Rabbi Akiva, Shoya oise chalutza ke'erva. Rabbi Akiva, who said that a chalutza, once a woman receives chalitza, she becomes like a prohibited woman, an erva, any of the other prohibited women. And we know that if you, let us say, if a man offers money in marriage of his mother or of his sister, nothing takes effect. So too, money offered to a chalutza would have no effect. Avol chachomim oimrim, yesh achar chalitza klum. The chachomim disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say that even though a woman was released through chalitza, money that's offered to her afterwards in marriage would take effect. The marriage would take effect. Vani oimer, and Rebbe says, and I say, Amosai, when is it that after chalitza there could still be tfisas kiddushin? Bizman shekitsha lishum ishus. Provided the money that he gives her after the chalitza, he does so with standard marriage in mind. And that's based on the idea that kiddushin is toifes b'chayve lavin, that she's true, she's forbidden to the tune of a negative command, without kores or misas based in. Nevertheless, she is prohibited, but according to Revi, a marital bond can take effect with a chayev lavin. Avol, kitsho l'shum yivmus, if a man, after having done chalitza, gives the woman the chalutza, gives her money, and says, I'm offering this to you as a marriage of yibum, ein achar chalitza klum, then we would say it's of no value. It's considered a kiddushei tos, a mistaken marriage, because after chalitza there is no more yibum connection that remains. Tanya idach, another brisa, hacholitz liyavinto v'chazer v'kitsha, person released the yavama through the shoe removal ceremony and then marries her. Rabbi Omer im kitsha l'shul ishus tzricha imenu get. If the money given to her afterwards was done with standard marital intent, that creates a bond, it creates a marriage, and in order to free her, if he should so desire, he has to give her a formal divorce document, a get. However, l'shul yivmus, if after chalitza the brother-in-law gives her money and says, I'm doing this for the purpose of yibum, ein sricha heimenu get. She doesn't require even a get. It's totally meaningless. The Chachomim disagree with Rebbe, and they say, bein shikitsha l'shum ishos, bein shikitsha l'shum yivmus, sricha heimenu get. The Chachomim are more restrictive, and they say that even if the money was given to her with yibum in mind, money given to the chalutza, with now, after chalutza, giving her the money with yibum in mind, it requires a get in order for this couple to part ways. Now as we go on in the Gemara, a new marking appears, and on the side we have a nosei, livne heading, the topic heading, and structural note, which reads, where you see the diamond featured, deois, lahasbir machloikis Rebbe v'chachomim, be'inyin hacholitz livimta v'chozer v'kitsha. L'shem Ishus or L'shem Yivmus. We need to explain this Rebbe Chachamim argument where, particularly in the case where he's Mekadisher L'shem Yivmus, Rebbe says it has no effect, and the Chachamim say it does have effect. Omar of Yosef, my time of the Rebbe. What is the reason behind Rebbe? Answer, Asua, he gives an analogy. Asa'uha, the halacha makes her like Ka'oider b'nichse hager, a convert to Judaism who, after conversion, doesn't build a family of his own. He dies without children produced as a Jew. So he's considered someone that has no relatives. And when he dies, his property is hefker. If someone comes along and does some action to the property, to the parcel of land, in an attempt to acquire it, so he can acquire it through that action. Exactly what type of action, all that, the Gemara defines elsewhere. In our case, he's going to be tilling the soil. So a person who is Oder, who tills the soil, b'nichse hager, because Savor Shelohein, and he tills the soil thinking that it's not someone else's property, thinking that it's its own, it is his own property. The lo kani, it doesn't work. In other words, he won't acquire, when it becomes clear that it wasn't his property, he won't be able to claim that he tilled it, because he tilled it with an incorrect mindset. He tilled it thinking it was his own, even though it wasn't. So action-wise, he did the action of acquisition, but with an incorrect mindset. So too, Rebbe will tell you that giving money to a chalutza, thinking that he's able to do yibum now, he's not. And therefore, it doesn't take effect. Omar Le Abaye challenges Rav Yosef's analogy. He says, "Me, dummy, how can you compare these your analogy to the case of maimer or money given to a yivama or to a chalutza l'shem yivmus? Hasam lo kol mechavein lemikni. When a person goes to a field and he thinks it's his own field, he doesn't have any acquisition intent in mind because he feels it's already his. Hacha kol mechavein lemikni. Here in the case of the money offered to the chalutza, he has acquisition thoughts on mind. Might be wrongful or dubious, but nevertheless he does have acquisition thoughts in mind. Ha'lo danya ella, if you want to make an analogy between the case of giving money to a chalutza l'shem yivmus and a nichse hager, well, this will be the analogy. Ella li'oide b'nichse ger zeh, because sofar shalkir achir hu dekani. If a person approaches a field, a parcel of land, he knows it's not his, but he thinks it belongs to Ger Mr. One, and it turns out that it was the property of Ger Number Two. So when he was tilling the property, he tilled it with acquisition intent, acquiring property of a Ger. It's true that he was mistaken about which Ger it was, but nevertheless, it's effective in acquisition. Ela Omar Abaye. Therefore, Abaye comes up with his explanation of why Rebbe will tell you, Rebbe versus the Rabbanan, why they hold what they hold respectively with regard to money given to a chalutza l'shem yivmus. Hocha b'mayaskinon, could go to Omar law. The case here of money given to the chalutz is where he said to her, "Hiskat shili b'maimer yivmin." He says, "Be married to me through the institution of maimer of yivomis." Rebbe Savar, Rebbe is of the opinion, and Rebbe who said that it's ineffective. Maimer ilui zika ka rami. And we saw this analysis before, that the maimer is in effect superimposed on the Zika connection. Va'asoi chalitza afkiso l'zika. The chalitza that was done prior to the offering of the money the chalitza undid the zikah. As a result, the mimer has nothing upon which to base itself. Mimer can work only if it's based upon chalitza, based upon zika. But if the zika was undone, so the mimer will not be effective. It doesn't have a foundation upon which to stand. For Rabbanan Sabri, hai luchudei koi, v'hai luchudei koi. The Rabbanan hold that each one is a separate entity. Namely, the mimer is one entity, and the zika is a separate entity. There is a Rashi that appears three lines from the very bottom. Hai luchudei koi, v'lo mahani zika l'mimer. The connection doesn't have any benefit for the mimer. So it is right now as it was originally before the chalitza. Originally, if he would have said to her, take this money as mimer of Yevomis, would it not be effective? Even though the zika doesn't have any effect on it, it works. Hashtanami mahani, so too now that the zika has been obliterated through the chalitza, the mimer has room for effectiveness. Now we go back to the Gemara text and where we underline Rabbanan Sabri, hai luchudei koi, vai luchudei koi, meikora, if at the outset, ilu omar lo, hiskachi li b'maimer yivmin, mi lo mahani, he would have said this before the chalitza was done, be mekudeshes to me, through Maimer Yivmin, would it not be effective? Yes, it would be effective. Hashtonami, now too, that Chalitza was done, Mahani, the Maimer is effective. Rava Omar. Rava is, you can see, a third approach to dealing with the issues, the Machlokas Rebbe and Rabbon and above. Rava Omar, e the Omar law, the Maimer Yivmin, if like Abaye said, that's what he says to the chalutza, kule almo lo pligi de mahanya, everyone would agree, and we say everyone, that means even Rebbe would agree that it would be effective. V'hocha b'may askinon, here, where under what circumstances is the machloikis, he's going to Omar law, hiskachi li bezikas yivmin, be married to me through the yibum connection. Rebbe Savar, and we continue now at the top of Daf Nun Gimel, Yesh Zika. Rebbe holds from the principle that there exists a halachic connection. Again, this is a very abstract idea in my humble estimation, but it's a concept that we've dealt with in the past on many occasions. Rebbe holds there is Zika, and Va'asoy Chalitzaf Kisei L'Zika, and the chalitza that was done prior to this mimer undid the bond. And we look at Rashi at the top. Yesh zika. Hai the top this mimer ba'alma. The chi hai lishna. That which we say in general, mimer takes effect when a person says hiskachi b'zikas yivmin. He shouldn't be yesh zika because there is a bond. There's a connection. Ba'ashta asoy chalitza pokasa. And now the chalitza had come prior to this and undid the bond. The leka l'meimar hochi, and therefore there's no room to say that the mimer is going to work, because as we just said, the mimer works only because in using this lashon, only because there was a zika. In other words, once you acknowledge through your language hiskachi li b'zikas yivmin, you're basically saying be married to me because of the zika. But the chalitza undid the zika. So how can you say, be married to me through the zika ban when it's not there? Rabbanan Savri, ein zika. The Rabbanan hold that there is no zika. Now we look at Rashi, second line from the top. Ein koyach lezika. There isn't any strength, any halachic strength to this connection. Afilu hachi, meikara avi maimer. And even so, even if there's no zika, if before the chalitza he had said this language, hiskachili bezikas yivmin meikara ilu omar lo hiskachili bezikas yivmin milo mahani, even though there's no Zika, but if he used this language, would it not have in fact resulted in a bonding? So too now that he has done chalitza, there is a bonding. It's effective. Number four, Rav Shravya Omar, b'chalitza sheira, e de Omar lo hiskachi v'zikas yidmin kule amolo pli yudaloi mahani. If you were dealing with a solid chalitza, in other words, you had a Yavam that initially, his initial contact with the Yavam was through chalitza. He breaks their relationship immediately, right at the outset, with a strong chalitza. If after that he says, this language, be married to me through zikas yidmin, everyone would agree, the lomani. That, now, when we say everyone, that means even the rabbonan would agree it's not effective. The hacha b'chalitza psula k'mifugi. The machlokis Rebbe and the chachomim that we saw is dealing with a chalitza psula, a weakened chalitza. And what do we mean by a weakened chalitza? For example, a chalitza that's done after a get, after first he gives a divorce document to the yavam and then he does chalitza. That's a weakened chalitza. And we've explained this many times in the past, what that means. Practically speaking, it's chalitza done with a woman at which point you could not have done yibum because you already gave her a get. Mor Sovar, Rebbe holds chalitza psula poteres. That a chalitza psula is effective. And since it's effective, there's no more zika, and hence the language is kachi li bezika sifmin is shown to be false, and therefore it doesn't take effect because there's no more zika. Umar Sova, the Rabbonan, who said that even if he says to the Yavama after chalitza such and that language, she would be bonded or married to him. Umar Sova, chalitza psula eino poteres. A weakened chalitza is ineffective, and therefore there still is a bond, and therefore there's room for the money offered to her. And when he says it's kashli bezikas yivmin, there's room for it to be effective. We continue with number five. Rav Ashi Omar, the kuli almo chalitza psula eino poteres. According to Rav Ashi, everyone will agree, including Rebbe, that a chalitza psula does not release, and therefore there is room for the kiddushin, the money given to her afterwards, to take effect. The hacha here, where you see a Rebbe and the chachamim arguing, b'yesh tnai b'chalitza. Is there room for a condition to take effect with regard to chalitza? For example, a man, the yavam, agrees to do chalitza on condition that she pays him 200 zuz. Does that condition take effect? And that, in other words, the chalitza then will be conditional upon her paying him the money. Mor Sovar, the Rabbanan hold, yesh tnai b'chalitza. The condition stated is effective, and the chalitza then is conditional, and as long as the condition of her paying him, in this case, the 200 zuz, was not paid, the chalitza is not a chalitza. And therefore, there's room for the merit of the money offered to her after such a chalitza to take effect. Because the chalitza hasn't taken effect yet. It hasn't broken, their bond hasn't been broken yet. Umor Sovar, Rebbe holds ein tnai b'chalitza. You can't do chalitza in a stated condition that this chalitza will be effective only if you pay me the money. So that once the chalitza is done, the chalitza is a chalitza, the tnai is not a restrictive factor, and therefore there is no more bond, and hence when he says his kachri b'zikas yivmin, it won't take effect. And we now see number six. Rabina Omar, the Kuli Almo Yesh Tnai Bechalitza. Everyone will agree that conditions can be built into Chalitza. And if the condition is not fulfilled, so the bond remains. Bacha B'tnai Kofel Komitligi. Granted that there is a Tnai that's possible to superimpose on a Chalitza, but the issue is, do the rules, the formal rules of condition making, apply? Tnai Kofel is what's called a doubled condition, where you state that if you do this X, then the following will result, and if you do not do X, then the following will not result. You double the language. There's, you state the positive and you state the negative. So is Tnai Kofel a requirement in order for a Tnai to be considered an effective condition? Mor Sovar, Rebbe holds Bo'inon Tnai Kofel. A doubled statement is necessary. If he didn't do it, so the condition is not a condition. It's not a condition that would be effective in restraining the effectiveness of the Chalitza, and hence the Chalitza would take hold, and therefore there's no room for subsequent Kiddushin stated the Iskachili, the Zika Zivman, there's no more Zika. Ah, you'll say, but the Zika was conditional, but it wasn't, because the formula of stating the condition was not met. Umor Sobar, lo bo'inon tanai kofon the Rabbonan, the Chachamim will tell you that you don't require the doubling of the Tanai in order for it to be effective. And therefore, once the Tanai is stated, and let us say it's fulfilled, the lady pays the money, so there is no bond that will remain, even though the condition was not doubled. Rebbe, on the other hand, will tell you that even if you go through the action of fulfilling the condition, but since it wasn't doubled, it doesn't serve as a condition, and therefore the chalitza goes through. It's a solid chalitza, and there's no room to marry her afterwards using this language of Hiskachili Bazika Zivman when there's no Zika that is left. Just to refine the last point through an illustration, when Rebbe speaks about a Tnai Kofel in the context of the Yibum, it would be where he would have said that if you give me the 200 Zuz, so then the Chalitza is a Chalitza. And if you don't give me the 200 Zuz, then the Chalitza will not be a Chalitza. So if it wasn't doubled, then the condition is of no consequence. And the fact, according to Rebbe, that the Chalitza was done, that breaks the bond altogether. And hence there's no room for the subsequent Kiddushin, when stated in Yibum terms, or Iskachin Bezikas Yibman, to take effect. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.